Welcome, everybody, to PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We give you all the news, the reviews, and the
rumours.
So the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. I'm joined by Jordan. How are you?
I'm really good, man. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm Dan Allen Gaming. The reason I'm talking so fast, Jordan, is someone actually sent us a clip of last time we did Fast. Someone sent us the clip of that on socials, and it sounded absolutely ridiculous. I'll have to show you.
Do you know that I was like, I was going to send you on Vike a screenshot today, because when I beat a game today that you reviewed last week, I listened to the podcast because I got like 5 minutes in, and then you were like, "Oh, you got to get to. We're going to get into spoilers. And, oh, I've got to finish the game then, and I'll come back."
I mean, we didn't go too far into spoilers, but there's probably, you know, you got to be safe.
Yeah, I'm glad that I did stop though, because there was a few things like, oh, that were surprises to me as we went in. I was going to send you a screenshot because I was listening on 1.5, which is like for one that I'm just getting for news.
Yeah.
And stuff, yeah. I'm 1.5. If it's comedy podcast like Two Bears, One Cave or anything like that, I'm like, no, I'm doing that standard speed.
I can be funny. You know why I can be funny?
Why does that mean?
Because I can do an impression of someone.
Oh.
I want to play a game. The game is simple. Find the key.
That is a good one. That was good. I did an impression today when I was at home just with the dogs, and I did an impression to myself. Gee, that'd be a really good one to do on the podcast tonight, and I cannot think of what it was.
Well, we'll go back to the classic Watto. How is Watto going?
It's pretty good, eh? The problem is you can't do Watto quiet. It has to be loud.
Are you trying to keep it down?
No, I'm home alone still, but you can't do that one quiet. It has to be loud.
What about
an Elden Ring dragon?
Oh, that was a good one.
It's not really funny.
That was ace. Not funny, but it's good.
Anyway, Jordan, you're on holidays.
I am living it up.
And you've beaten a few games on your holidays.
I've been busy. Yeah.
So you beat Sea of Stars. You said a number of weeks ago that you may not finish this game, but it's got its hooks into you and you've ended up beating it.
I did. It took me about 31 or 2 hours to do it, which was probably 5 more hours than I really wanted to. Like, it got to about the 26, 27 hour mark, and I was clear that we were reaching this crescendo. And then, you know how we talked in The Last of Us 2, how
pacing.
Especially that the bit on the island at the end where it was just like, oh, just one too many fight scene.
Yeah.
Sea of Stars got a little bit like that with me, where I was loving it and all I wanted to do was finish it because I wanted to see how it ended. I didn't want to finish it because I wanted it to be over. I was just ready to see the ending and ready to see how the story all got tied up. But it got to this point, and the point that it got to was really interesting, and I loved the way that it did this. I thought it was just going to be straight to the boss and we're off, but then it was no more sort of dungeon navigating and stuff and puzzle solving. And I sort of started to get a little bit impatient with it. In the end, still loved it. So,
did the story pay off?
Yeah, the story really paid off. And I got spoiled. So there's a true ending, and I got spoiled a little bit for what the true ending is, which just makes me want to go and do it because it's related to something that happens earlier in the game.
But you didn't do the pro ending. You didn't do the true ending.
No. So when I finished it, I was like, okay, I'm finished. I'm done. I can go and play Mortal Kombat now because I was really, really trying to get Sea of Stars finished.
Yeah.
I can go and play Mortal Kombat now.
No platinum for Sea of Stars? Bit too long?
There is a platinum.
You're not going to go for it.
I'm going to see how far away I am because I would like to go back and do the true ending now, but I'm going to see how far off it is and how much extra you need to do. It's like, I looked it up and it's only like a 3 out of 10, and it's
easy,
it's like,
but it
40
could be
hours. Yeah. So, well, it's only 40 hours. So it could be just like another 7 hours that I need to do. But as we'll touch on later, we are approaching a very busy time of the year. October, and the rest, and there is some bangers for the rest of the year as well outside of October. But October is going to be a very busy month, and feel like it's not going to add to my enjoyment, the platinum. And as it's well documented now, I've sort of moved away from platinum in games. See how I go tomorrow. But yeah.
Oh, I found this new site called Get Plat. It's got the information.
Yeah, that's the one that I got the trophy guide.
Not a bad looking site either.
Yeah. Yeah, because PowerPix didn't have one up. And
well, yeah, we know him. We've spoken about him numerous times. I would say he's the number one site.
Easily.
I think he's overtaken, yeah, all sites for trophy. Well,
it used to be PlayStationTrophies.org. That was the place to go.
Yeah, and he PSN used to post.
Profiles took over. He did.
He used to post on there, and then he realized, well, hold on. I should just do this myself.
Yeah.
And now he's got people, he's hired and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as he left, it sort of, I feel like that's when PSN profiles sort of rose to prominence. It was like, go there or go to PowerPix's website, because the PlayStationTrophies.org website, the interface just isn't that good anymore. It actually, like, they updated it and it's worse than what it was. When it was like in a PS.org for the trophy, PS.org.
Yeah, I can't when it was like in
a the post was a lot easier. So the trophy guides were a lot easier to get to, but they just don't look as appealing now anymore. So yeah, I rarely use them. But just quickly, I think Sea of Stars will be in my top five at the end of the year. Like, I loved it.
That's really good. Really, we want to see more indies. We love talking about indies.
Yeah.
And that's really great to hear. It's on my list, but who knows when I'll get to it, but I will eventually.
Yeah, who knows if you can get to it. But it's definitely going to be on my top five. At the moment, like, if you ask me now, it's like, it is one of my favorite things I've played.
So good. Good on these guys.
Yeah.
Sabotage.
Good on them.
So anyone, we highly recommend that. And also The Messenger, their last game.
Yeah.
I recommend that as well. Funnily enough, I ended up playing a bit more Mortal Kombat, which we'll get into in a second.
Yeah.
But I ended up doing a couple of DLCs this week. The first one was Resident Evil 4.
Oh, is that the what's her name? The girl's
Ada
name.
Wong. Yeah.
Yes.
Who got a lot of slack for her performance in the main game online. I thought she was fine. I thought the writing of the character was probably the thing that let her down a little bit, and maybe the direction. But the DLC, she's much better in this DLC. Much more likable, a bit more of a badass. And it's pretty damn lengthy DLC. It's about 5 or 6 hours worth. That's decent, taking your time. And it's the same quality as the main game, which I gave a 10 out of 10. So safe to say I really enjoyed it. And everyone was talking about the cut content of the main game when it first came out. But people kind of like, oh, they might put it in the DLC. And, well, they did. Everything that was cut from the original that wasn't in the main game was in this DLC in some shape or form, including certain boss fights and things like that. I won't spoil it for anyone that hasn't.
It's almost like the internet overreacted, you could say.
Yeah, well, just let the game come out. And it, look, it was cheap too. Cheap DLC. I think it was $10. That's really reasonable.
That is extremely reasonable.
Don't you think?
Good on them. That's extremely competitive pricing.
Yeah. So I highly recommend that DLC as I do the main game. It was fantastic. Smashed it out in a day. Loved it. Yeah. That game continues to impress me. Now, you know, it is a remake, but yeah, look, it's definitely in my top of the year, but it's a remake, so it's got that caveat where you go, oh. Yeah,
we may need to speak about this at the end of the year, though, because Dead Space is up there with one of my favorite games of the year as well, and that's a remake too. So it may not matter at the end of the year. We may get to the end and we do our top fives, and it's not even in my top five anyway because there's some heavy hitters still to come. But it might be a discussion we have to have together.
We do, yeah. Dead Space, there's another one I'm thinking of, but highly recommend that. And also I've been playing Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty, which I haven't beaten.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts? Because you were higher than most, I would have thought, like above average in terms of your positivity for Cyberpunk when it came out originally.
Yeah, now I think it's almost a must-play title.
with this DLC. It's that good. The main missions are really, really engaging. The addition of Idris Elba, he's fantastic. Even though at start, a little bit jarring that he wasn't doing his normal accent. He was putting on an American accent, but he does a good job.
I'd best say, I don't know if I've ever heard him do an American accent.
Yeah, he doesn't do it often, not from what I know. Obviously, yeah. A lot of
you
people
keep going.
Know him as
I'm
going
to do some research.
Luther, and he's been in, I think everyone knows Idris Elba by now. He is fantastic, as well as the other, the villains and the new characters and just the normal cast. V, I'm playing this one as female V, Sharon Mealy. She's fantastic. So from that side of point of view, it's brilliant. Storytelling wise, super engaging story in the main missions that I'm just loving. And the variety, you go into a casino and you play roulette. You have a back and forth trying to interrogate these two twins. And then you'll go and hijack a vehicle. And then it just keeps you moving from different things. It's not a traditional shooter by any means. There's very much a lot of back and forth cutscenes and sort of just other elements of play, interrogation or spy elements and James Bond type elements, like all this pulled into it. It's almost like these guys went into the CD Projekt Red, went in and said, let's think of the most fun missions possible and let's just do it. What's going to be super fun? Let's do it. That's what they've done. It's fantastic. I think it's could be better than the main story. I'll have to go back and play the main story, but gee, that's good.
Are you tempted to go back and play the main story?
I am tempted. I know the characters in the main story are phenomenal. Phenomenal character work in the main story. I'm very tempted to go back. There is a new ending. There's multiple endings, but there's another ending now to the main game. But
yeah.
And then they've added in all these vehicles and they've updated the police system, and we've gone through all the details that they've updated, but geez,
yeah.
They've refined the perks, which works a lot better now, much more streamlined. The whole thing is almost a must play. Yeah, you'll get there's still many issues and bugs that pop up and things like that, but nowhere near from what it was a couple of years ago.
They've Which is saying a lot of those because it was in a state.
Yeah, it was in a shocking state, but now it's in a much better state. And graphically, I mean, Night City is one of the best looking cities in gaming. I would have to say, graphically, still great. And I think they have redeemed themselves. You know, I think it's a really great game. Yeah, this DLC, I'm seeing record numbers people playing it on Steam. So there's a lot of people hyped about it as well. There's a big fan base, obviously, Cyberpunk. I mean, their marketing was second to none. It was almost like Barbie, but for gaming. Cyberpunk was kind of at that level in terms of marketing. They just nailed everything about it. So, you know, they've got millions of followers on social media, which is not really something you see for games besides like GTA and COD. Single game titles don't amass that much of a following on social media usually. But anyway, my point is they've done a hell of a job doing on the marketing in this, and they've actually put in the work at the team have put in the work.
It's an amazing recovery job, really.
I'm really impressed. I'm really, really impressed. So I'll keep playing it. Even the side quests are quite varied. Like I can't believe nothing feels like a fetch quest like Starfield. That was one of my issues with Starfield, was the mission variety. And this doesn't seem to have that issue. You know, these small little side gigs are fully fleshed out. They're sort of like, they're kind of like, 45-minute filler TV episodes that are fleshed out stories, but aren't, you don't really need to see them to continue on with the, you know, you see what I'm saying? The actual world feels quite lively, surprisingly, especially this, because there's a new area called Dogtown. Really great little map, only small compared to the main game, but really dense, different levels to it. I really enjoyed that mission with the roulette. It went on for like an hour and a half. It felt like a James Bond movie because you're gearing up to this mission, and then you got to sort of sneak in and blend in and try and learn more about these people at the table and your betting. It's just, I love shit like that. Like, have you seen Casino Royale? It's a great
movie. Yeah. Jeez. I've only seen two of the Daniel Craig Bond movies, which is a bit of a crime on my part.
You should watch them.
And Casino Royale's fantastic.
Casino Royale, Skyfall, and the last one are very good. But
Never Say Die?
No Time to Die, yeah.
No Time to Die. Yeah. But I'm sure Never Say Die. Oh, it's Never Say Never, isn't it?
That might be one of the old ones. But no, you haven't played Cyberpunk, Jordan. This might be the time for you to think about it anyway, because it's a really good game, man.
My problem was, even before all the stuff happened with Cyberpunk at launch, I was never keen. Like, it never grabbed me. And even now, I'm like, I see all this stuff and I go, that's fantastic that everyone loves it. It just doesn't hook me.
The world doesn't hook you?
Just all of it. I remember when the marketing came out, I just didn't get it. Yeah, I don't know. Just, it doesn't appeal to me. And yeah, maybe it's a Cyberpunk thing.
You're a shooter fan. You're an RPG fan.
I am. Yeah, I am.
You're a sci-fi fan.
I also need to keep in mind, my only experience with I am a sci-fi fan. Yeah, my only experience with a CD Projekt Red game wasn't a good one either. Was like,
it's actually nothing like The Witcher.
I know it's like, obviously it's very different,
but
I feel like the philosophy sort of there, and I'm not a big fan of my one big criticism with The Witcher was first the combat, and then second of all, when people be like, oh, and there's all this stuff to do. Yeah, but like, why? But why? Just because there's lots to do.
You're going to get blasted for that take, because Witcher is one of the best games ever made, Jordan. So it lost you in the gameplay. You didn't like the Witcher gameplay, and that's where
I actually thought the combat was bad.
Yeah, and
I'm just thinking that. I'm not saying it is bad.
They had combat of a Bloodborne, you probably would have finished it.
No? Yeah, or just like, you know, I would have taken just more comparable combat. Yeah.
I don't know. I think you were in a bad state of mind when you played Witcher. I think you should give it another go.
I was extremely excited to play The Witcher.
You play Witcher 4? And that comes? Me? Will you play Witcher 4?
No, probably not. No. I haven't even watched The Witcher should be in my wheelhouse.
What if it looks extraordinary? What if the fourth one looks absolutely extraordinary
The third looked extraordinary as well. I just don't think it's for the.
Hey, I got to respect. Like, I mean, you don't want to play Cyberpunk. You don't want to play Witch. You want to play Sea of Stars. Yeah. I have to respect it. Honestly,
Do you know what? If the combat changes, maybe the combat just never felt good. It just felt like I was whacking people with toothpicks.
If you were playing bad games, I would have to say a Jordan. But this year, you've only played good games, so I can't really knock you. You know, if you go through your list, you've literally played only good games, like 8s, 9s, and 10s. So,
yeah.
What's the last bad game you played? Let me have a look. Stray. Well, that's my opinion.
Oh, that was
I wouldn't say it was bad, but it wasn't good.
The more I reflect on it, the more I go, like, what? What? No.
That was the last bad game you played in July 2022.
It was probably okay.
Yeah, it wasn't even bad. Yeah, that's the thing.
No, it was just okay. I don't know if this was if this is a bit of a hot take. I thought Hogwarts was bad.
Oh, really?
I thought it was all right.
And now you think it's bad.
No, remember, I didn't finish it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The more I reflect on it, the more I'm like, man, that was bad.
See, I reflect on it and I start to compare it to, you know, Cyberpunk, Baldur's Gate, this and that. And then it starts to look not as good when you start comparing it to those games. Yeah. But I did love roaming around Hogwarts. I can't tack that away from it. It was when you got outside Hogwarts where it started to lose me.
It didn't feel like Hogwarts. It didn't have the you know, they film movies. You know when they film movies and they have like shells of cars? That's what it felt like Hogwarts was, just the game in general. It was like, oh, it's got the bells and whistles and like, look at it. From the outside, it looks like it's Hogwarts. And then you get in it and it's like, oh, it's not.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's like Wish Hogwarts. Or, you know, we have Hogwarts at home.
Hey, this is why I like you. I like the differing takes. I like the
But again, and that like is just my opinion. I know that there are some people who really
enjoy it. There's no right or wrong. Unless you give Uncharted a 4 out of 10. Yeah. You're just objectively wrong. But that review was objectively wrong. Okay. Yeah, no, Phantom Liberty. Everyone out there, definitely get on this. Highly recommend it. But I feel like I'm saying that every week. So you guys are just going to have to pick which one you... No one has enough time for all the recommendations at this point. Mortal Kombat 1. So you beat the story. How did you find the story?
Beat the story.
And the gameplay, and how do you find the game?
So I love the gameplay. Mortal Kombat's my favorite fighting game. It's like the only fighting game I've probably played in the last 10 years. The last one would have been Tekken Tag 2 when we were coming out of high school 10 years ago. And I never played Tekken 7 really.
You played Injustice 2.
Oh, Injustice, yeah. But like NetherRealm fighting games. Like Injustice is really just Mortal Kombat. The only difference with Injustice and Mortal Kombat really in terms of the fighting systems is the block button that Mortal Kombat has, and then the down X, back X
launches
that Injustice has.
Injustice is just easier to do combos and usually.
Yeah, a little bit easier, yeah. I did really enjoy the Mortal Kombat story. We'll get into spoilers with it a little bit because some of the spoilers are actually what like disappointed me a little bit about it.
What disappointed
very
you?
Much. No, well, I'll give spoiler-free stuff to start off with. It's still a high-quality, amazing-looking NetherRealm fighting game story.
Mm-hmm.
And the characters are fantastic. I do love some of the reimaginings. I love seeing some of the renewed origins for characters like Baraka and Reptile and Kenshi. I love the omission. I sort of agree with what Vike said. Not sort of. I do completely agree with what Vike said in the review that you guys did last week. I love the restraint that's been shown by not having characters like Sonya Blade and Jax and that sort of stuff as characters.
Overwhelming.
And then not overwhelming. Don't try and squeeze them in just because they're fan favorites. Like if they don't match the story and they're not fitting in this story this time, don't have them. I completely agree with what you said last week about every character sort of having their own arc, with the exception of, as you said, Reiko and Rain. Rain was a jobber.
Rain was bad, sadly.
Rain was a jobber.
Yeah.
It's hard to like have bad guys in fighting games be anything other than jobbers, though, when you just beat them every time you fight them, when like your objective is to beat them.
How do you give them... Yeah, that is a tough one. That's why I think they should let you play as some of the bad guys sometimes.
Yeah, you know? Let us play as the bad guys. Or, you know, when you play a WWE game, I haven't played a proper WWE game in a while, but when during the SmackDown versus Raw days, you'd start a match in story mode, and then it'd get to a point where the match would stop, a cutscene would start, and then the story would play out from there.
Oh, so you don't see the winner.
Yeah, okay. So like, there's not always a winner.
They do that in F1 as well, yeah.
Yeah, just to shake it up a little bit and just so that, like, you're not always winning.
That's I like that, yeah.
A thought. If I'm being honest, it didn't, like, the fact that, like, you're always beating these bad guys didn't ruin the experience or whatever. It's just, like, just an interesting thing to note.
No, because it could give him more, I'm thinking in wrestling terms, heat.
Yeah. it's like getting a clean finish or a dirty finish. You know what I mean?
Give him more. What am I trying to say, Jordan? You know what I'm saying. Give him more,
like credence.
Yeah, credence. That's a word. Yeah, yeah. Just in a higher. Yeah,
what is the wrestling word? There's a wrestling word for it. I can't think of what it is.
Showcase him in a higher value. I mean, they call it putting him over.
Yeah, put him over. Yeah. Don't bury them. Like Rain and Reiko got buried the entire time.
Yeah, you got to put him over. You got to give him something. Because Rain was just, as you said, he was a body bag, a punching bag, sorry, and he didn't have much to work with. The funny thing is, that's Noshir who was Bode in Star Wars, and Bode,
oh really,
was
oh,
a fantastic character in Star Wars. Jedi.
Bode was.
So it's nothing to do with that. It's just the writing of Rain is just lame. Yeah, he was just sort.
It's a shame that they had to do that to Rain, because I know you guys mentioned it, that Rain was my main on MK9.
Oh, Yeah.
But that was when he was a cool, like, water ninja. No, well, because I only really did the story, so you don't play as Rain.
You know, weren't compelled to.
No, so I'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, the story mode I really loved. When I finished the story, oh, man, I'm going to do the towers now. And I went to go start a tower. And I was like, well, I really liked playing as Kenshi at the start of the story. So I'm going to do a tower as Kenshi. But before I do that, I want to have some advanced combos to sort of put together. I've got some that I already had used, not like super advanced, but like stringing a few combos together from the story. So I want to look up some on the internet, sort of give me that I can practice and then go into this tower so I can feel like I know what I'm doing. And I, you know, do a little bit of research. Takes me a while. I managed to find a thing. And then the first thing I read is like, Kenshi has three stances. And I went, no, thank you. Not for me today. And I closed my phone and I closed the app. I'm going to do something else because I don't really have the patience nor time to try and learn.
So characters. What if you picked a character that was easy? Could that have, that could have gone differently?
It definitely could have gone in differently. Part of me just goes, now I really wanted just to get the story. The towers are sort of...
That's what I'm
of,
saying. Would it just have delayed the inevitable if you found someone easier?
Yeah. I would have done like three towers and gone, oh, this is interesting. And I still love the gameplay. But my mind had already gone elsewhere and been like, what's the next story I can try and
Did
do?
Did you try the invasion?
Well, I listened to you guys talk about it and I listened to it on other reviews and it didn't really...
I still
really
haven't tried it.
Me. Yeah. No, it doesn't appeal to me. No, yeah, so
it seems like a tacked on mode a little bit. I will give it a go. I just haven't had a chance. But
we'll quickly get into spoilers. So spoilers for the next few minutes, ladies and gents, just skip while we talk minutes, through this one. Yeah, just skip a few minutes ahead. So I was actually a little bit annoyed by the story in part because the selling part for Mortal Kombat 1 was that Liu Kang had gone back, like had gone and like restarted the timeline, and it was my understanding was, and the marketing I thought was, it was called Mortal Kombat 1 because it was a restart of the timeline and there was going to be just the one timeline. Am I wrong by that?
Kind of, yeah.
Is that sort of what am I wrong or am I right?
I mean, it's easy to see how that you thought that, yeah.
Is that not what was supposed to happen?
Well, I don't know if they went into that much detail on the timelines and that. You know what I mean? I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, from the start of the game.
It was up to interpretation.
Yeah. Well, from the start of the game anyway, it was like, right, Liu Kang has made the one timeline and we're rolling with it. And then it was, oh, there might be two. Oh, wait.
So you wanted it to be just one so you could start fully fresh and not bring others in and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Because I was just like, oh. Okay.
I had a bit of that too. I kind of agree with you. I had a little bit of that where I'm like, it would have been nice to just sort of start fresh and not bring others in.
Because
I
feel like it started really interestingly and then, okay, this is what it's going to be. All right, okay.
The thing is, they need this grand event, you know, this thing to go to rather than these condensed stories. There needs to be this outer world sort of thing going on.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the stakes aren't high enough, I guess, in their opinion.
I do sort of agree with you that is what you're getting with a NetherRealm story. You're getting that grand scale, cataclysmic, world-ending, high-stakes sort of event. I get that. So that was one thing, and I'm not opposed to like multiverse stuff. I know that there's that multiverse fatigue thrown around. I don't think we're not sick of multiverses. We're sick of them done poorly. So when they're done right, it's fine. At the end of the day, was it done correctly and was it done executed well? Yeah, I think so. So, like, that's fine. My next sort of criticism is when MK9 came out, everyone was going, wow, NetherRealm are pushing the boundary for what a fighting game story can be. My question now is, are they still pushing the boundary or are they just at the boundary they set with MK9? Because it feels like they're sort of just like, this is the boundary we set. And now we're here because it didn't feel like they were pushing.
This is what I said. They're pushing. I thought they were pushing it technically, graphics and stuff like that.
100%.
That other mode. But the story, they weren't pushing in terms of what they could do with that gameplay wise, mechanics and structure. They haven't pushed it for years, basically.
No, it just felt like a NetherRealm story.
Yeah, area.
I think the next one that comes along, there needs to be some reinvention. As you said, there needs to be some new characters. Because isn't like
yes, the guy they need teased, new characters, definitely.
Isn't the guy, like new bad guys in particular, isn't the guy at the end, isn't he just like a reused bad guy as well, like in the post-credits?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, it's just the same bad guys over and over. And then as the game goes on, like during the story, it's like, oh, okay, Shang Tsung, who is amazing. He is such a slimy charming little slug, yeah, the little whole time.
Bastard, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's played amazingly, incredible.
Yeah.
All right, so it's Shang Tsung, and then it's okay, it's Quan Chi. All right, this is just another Mortal Kombat story. It's just the same bad guys doing the same evil machinations to try and get God knows what to happen. So I'm like, okay, I thought this was supposed to be like something. It didn't feel fresh. It like started fresh, and then I feel like the experience sort of soured towards the end. And I walk away going like, that was still a great story, but thought I was getting something better.
Yeah, and you still got Scorpion and Sub fighting, you know. I would have liked to seen them team up for a couple of games before we get to that riff. I feel like that was probably one of the storylines that was slightly rushed for me. I would have liked to see maybe they hint at him turning, but they keep him. But this is the problem. There's too many good guys in the whole game.
There is, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, because I turned all the good bad guys good. I also have to mention a bit that made me laugh out loud, and I'm laughing now thinking about it. It's just like, I don't know whether it's a joke or whether to me it's just irrationally funny, but you know, Ermac. So Ermac comes out and he's like, oh, he's formed by like the souls from the trees and all that sort of stuff. And he comes out and he's a boss and he's like levitating and he's shooting green stuff. And you're like, man, this dude's a boss. And then by the end of the game, his name's just Jared. he's just some like reanimated corpse named Jared. Ermac, you got a little bit of a demotion there.
at least he had an arc.
He had an arc. He went from being a spectral warlord, a host of all these souls, to Jared, Katana and Melina's dad.
Oh, I like Katana and Melina. They were pretty good. I like that. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
That made me laugh so much.
Just, yeah, that. Yeah. Rain and Reiko and probably General. What's his name?
General Shao.
They were probably the three weakest.
Yeah.
In the game.
Oh, one last thing. So Natara, who was Megan Fox.
Oh.
Something interesting because, like, she didn't have many lines, and the lines she did have were, I think, better than Ronda Rousey. Yeah.
Well, if you want to see the comparison, I've got a video if you want to see.
Oh, there you go. There's a plug. Where can I find that? Is that at Vikeshan Gaming?
Yeah, vikeshanakuma.com. Yeah.
Yeah. That a lot of this would have been done during lockdown. And when that was all happening, voice actors were doing stuff from home. Because I found that like...
She went in, man.
Oh, she did she?
Yeah. She went in.
Okay. Because it was going to be like, is it just that she didn't have the right setup? And not that because her performance was actually bad, but it actually sounded like it didn't... the sound wasn't amazing.
Well, I mean... I think she went in. They shot her behind the scenes and it looked like she was in the booth with them. So I feel like it was done this year within the last few months, like it was last minute.
Okay.
Because if you look at her in the story, it's very, if you get rid of her from the story, the story wouldn't change at all.
No, because she's just another jobber.
She's just a jobber and she has a couple of lines. So I reckon they've added her in for, again, a bit of marketing. She was probably a weak character as well. I didn't expect her to be an amazing character.
No.
Or have amazing dialogue.
No. So I started watching the Michael Bay TMNT movie, and oh man, that movie's a legitimate dumpster fire. Johnny Knoxville plays Leonardo. What is up with that?
Is that when Stephen Amell Arrow plays
Casey Jones? Yeah, Casey, I think that's Jones. I think that's in the second one.
Sheamus for the wrestler plays.
Yeah, plays Bebop or Rocksteady, one of those. I saw Mutant Mayhem. Goodness me, that was a great movie.
Megan Fox is April O'Neil.
April, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't particularly think she's a great actor. There's been a couple of decent movies she's in, Jennifer's Body, and there was a recent one. But besides that, everything I've seen her in has been below average. So,
was she? No, she wasn't in that.
This is. I saw a video on video game celebrity. I saw a video on celebrities in video games. Like, do not. The video was like, let's get rid of it. Like, it shouldn't happen. And I'm thinking, well, I just played Baldur's Gate 3. J.K. Simmons, brilliant, right? I just played Idris Elba in Cyberpunk, fantastic. So I'm thinking, well, no, Keanu Reeves, Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
That's then you go, okay, Peter Dinklage is pretty crap. So it's just a mixed bag. It's just, it's hit or miss.
I have an update for you on the Idris Elba thing too. Apparently he did an American accent during The Wire. Was he in The Wire? And it was so bad. It was so bad that it got dubbed, that someone did the voiceover for him. Yeah. So he doesn't normally do American accents, from the brief research I did.
This is the thing. I don't know why they made him American, because his natural accent is great to listen to. I love it. And
I'm Black Superman.
It's not like everyone. It's not like everyone's American in the game. There is different accents. So, I don't know. I guess his backstory. Yeah, I guess the backstory. But anyway, let's get into a bit of this news quickly, Jordan. There's just a couple of stories we want to glance over. First off, the PlayStation Essential games for October have leaked, which I believe it.
Surprise.
And on there is the Callisto Protocol.
Interesting.
What do you think of that?
Interesting. Good timing for October with Halloween approaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting timing as well with Glenn Schofield leaving.
That's what I mean. The director of the game, Glenn Schofield, is gone. That's quite sad to me. Who knows what happened behind the scenes, you know? We heard about the crunch that was happening there as well. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He only had 3 or 4 years to get this out, and the vision was there. As I said, the lore and everything was good. So, you know, it doesn't fall on his shoulders. Maybe it does, because some of the pitfalls of the game were, I guess, someone has to be responsible. And at the end of the day, it's just basically the sales were bad. That's the reason. And they laid off people. Yeah. So he's gone, and now they got it on PS Plus. Maybe it gets a resurgence. What do you think?
Yeah, I reckon a lot of people will have been frightened off by the average reviews. Like, it wasn't Days Gone critic response. It was probably better than that. But there were some people like me, I was interested in it, and then the review scared me off a little bit and just made me go, it's not a priority right now in the business.
Now that it's free on people.
Now that it's free, I'm interested. Yeah. Now that it's free, I'm interested. That's how I did Sea of Stars. Like, I wouldn't have played Sea of Stars if it wasn't free, because I just wouldn't have.
Okay.
Because it was there, I was like, I'll try it, you know, receive positive.
So will you try this?
Like, if I can find the time to try it. I can't say it'll be a this year try.
You can download it and play it later,
download it, play it later. So, yeah, I would like to try it at some stage, especially now that it's free. And, you know, as soon as there's a bit of spare time to fill in, I could try and fit it in. I would assume that we're not getting Callisto 2 now because of Schofield leaving.
Yeah, I saw a tweet from him. He said he is going to work on another game. He's going to have a few months off or something. And I'm thinking, so he's going to make a new studio, or how's that going to work? Like, I guess he's got a lot of contacts, but
maybe he's going to, isn't Stig Asmussen leaving Respawn? Maybe he's going to Respawn.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a thought. No,
I don't know. I don't know what his future holds. He said that Callisto Protocol is in good hands, whatever that means. So does it mean the universe will continue? Who knows? It
means the hands of gamers this October.
Like, the studio didn't close down, and they've got all those assets there. So, but if you release a sequel to a Battle Royale,
the Callisto Battle Royale.
If you release a sequel, I think they have to do co-op or something. There has to be something there. you know.
Do you lean even harder into the survival horror elements? Because remember, Dead Space did co-op, and that killed Dead Space for a decade.
Oh, yeah, it did. You're right.
Because then it went too action-y. So maybe they need to lean even harder into the survival horror element of it, which you can probably talk to, whether it was even there in the game.
It was there, but it wasn't. It wasn't a scary game. That's the problem.
Maybe they need to ratchet it up.
They need to go full bog. Like, they had the death scenes; they were gruesome, but that's where the gruesome sort of ended. So, yeah. That reminds me of Mortal Kombat. I realized that YouTubers, to get away with the fatalities, they would do the fatalities on Reptile because the blood's green. I didn't even realize.
Could you not just do it black and white?
You could, but they prefer, I think people prefer color. So if you do it on Reptile, you get away with it. I find that hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
Just reminded me of that. So who else left, Jordan? Someone else left.
So Hideki Kamiya leaves Platinum Games. So Platinum is famous for games like Bayonetta, Devil May Cry. Basically, think of any sort of fast-flowing action game, and it's probably been influenced by Platinum Games because that's sort of their thing.
Didn't he do Resident Evil direct? He directed the original,
did he?
He directed Resident Evil 2, dead set, in 1998. And then he moved on to Bayonetta and Devil May Cry. Yeah. The guy's a genius. So why has he left? Do we know?
Looking in the comments on Push Square here, people are saying that it sounds like maybe Platinum's getting bought.
That could be right. So, yeah.
Who knows?
That could be right. I don't
know. Hope he goes to continue making awesome stuff and maybe tones down his social media behavior.
How long was he there for? That's what I want.
There for a while because he worked on Bayonetta 1.
Oh, so he's been there for years. Years and years.
He founded Platinum in 2006.
So he's been there, what?
Bayonetta, The Wonderful 101, Astral Chain.
Been there 17 years.
Director of Project GG, yeah. Platinum also released that horrendous Ninja Turtles game called Mutants in Manhattan. And it actually got delisted after a few months. There's always, I'll never forget.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know that he also had a hand in, you remember that game Scalebound for Microsoft that they canceled?
That got canceled, didn't it?
Yeah, that was them. He was the director of that. That's not
what could have been.
Forget that. And then he did Babylon's Fall, which was, wasn't that really bad? He was a part of it.
Yeah, horrendous.
A few people have left. Star Wars Jedi 3 has been confirmed thanks to Cam Monaghan.
Yeah.
Who is Cal Kestis actor. He did I saw it. He was doing a panel at a Comic-Con and he's like, we're working on the third. You know, I think people are going, oh, he shouldn't have said that. But I think it was quite obvious anyway, don't you think, that there was a third?
Yeah.
Like, it was so obvious. I don't – and of course, he can say whatever he wants because they can't get rid of him now. I mean, he's integral.
And as if they're going to get rid of him. As if they're going to get rid of him, though, for that. Like, oh, no.
No, not that. But
they started building hype for our game too early. Darn you.
Yeah, exactly.
And
you still get the reveal. Whenever the reveal comes, it doesn't change the reveal hype.
Because
that's going to be
years from now.
When we see that. No. So,
yeah.
I don't, it was obvious anyway. Of course, he's working on the third. I mean, you have to be living under a rock. They've both sold well. And it's a trilogy. It was always going to be a trilogy. So,
yeah.
And I look forward to it.
Yeah, I really look forward to it. I feel like Survivor for me had a little bit of middle sequel syndrome. You know what I mean? Same as like Horizon Forbidden West. I'm like, it did some really amazing things, but knowing that it's going to be a trilogy sort of makes you go, oh, well, they need to leave room for it to get more epic in the next game.
They're holding back. You think they're holding back?
No, I don't think they're holding back. I don't know. Now that I think about it, there is some pretty awesome moments in Survivor.
I think they need to work on the tech side of the game for the new one.
Oh, goodness me. Yes, please.
Like, everything else is good. It's the tech side. It's the it's all that sort of stuff. Graphics, performance, yeah, textures, everything.
Yeah.
You know, for consoles specifically. PC, I'm sure, looks great. But we're talking about consoles.
So
did you see this as well, Jordan? Division 3 was announced.
Yeah. In another very nonchalant fashion.
I thought they were done. I honestly thought they were done with Division 3. I didn't think Division 3 was going to be a thing for some reason. I don't know why.
I didn't think Division was done, but I definitely didn't think Division 3 would be, not that we know that it's close, but I didn't think it was going to be on the radar because there was still Division Heartland coming. There's still the mobile game coming. Or is Heartland the mobile game?
Heartland is the free-to-play spin-off that's on console. Yeah, not sure on the mobile, but yeah, Heartland's on supposedly coming next year, I think, unless it's been canned.
Yeah. We'll just have to wait and see.
But
yeah,
Division 3, does that excite you at all?
I don't know if it excites me.
It's not exciting, like they need to but do, you probably play
they'd need
it.
To do a bit of yeah, they'd need to do a bit of reinvention to make me excited. Like I'd still want to play it, but I wouldn't be excited. You know what I mean? Like I'm excited for Wolverine. I'm excited for Spider-Man.
I feel like Division 3 or whatever the next one is, I feel like they should what Destiny 2 has done and maybe Which take that approach. We'll continually do expansions every other year.
And make a bigger deal out of the expansions.
Make a bigger deal. Make a good story.
Yeah. Because like what even was the story of Division 2?
Couldn't tell you.
I could tell you the story of like Division 1 about how like, it was dealing with the Dollar Flu outbreak and all that sort of stuff.
But two? Couldn't tell you, honestly.
No.
So that's what I would do with it, but that's a bit of a commitment.
You know where I'd love it to be set? Vegas.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
Because I reckon part of Division 2's setback, because was it set in like Washington or Boston?
Washington wasn't very good setting.
No, not interesting. Just a bit. Not interesting enough.
Wasn't like New York. Yeah. No. How can you beat New York?
Yeah. Like, let's do it somewhere real interesting. Either like either Vegas or give us like Los Angeles where you could like Universal Studios is there. You know, you got beaches and stuff. Like,
but does it have to be in America? You know, does it have to be in America?
Don't know.
You know?
Don't know.
Does every game have to be in LA, Vegas, New York, you know what I mean? Like, I wish they'd go abroad as well. Like, I really love Watch Dogs Legion.
Yeah, because it was London, wasn't it?
I love the setting of London. I think more games should be in London.
In London.
You know? Just anywhere. Has there been many games set in Paris where you could climb the Eiffel Tower? I haven't seen one.
No, not that I can think of.
Not really.
Or even like Japan, maybe like Japan? Tokyo or something. That could be really cool.
Yeah, Tokyo was good in, what's it called? Ghostwire.
Yeah, just something to, you need that hook. I feel like the hook of Division 1, apart from the car closing as you walked by it in cover, the hook of Division 1 was New York City and like getting to explore an abandoned apocalyptic New York City. Mm-hmm. And Washington didn't really have that vibe. There were some cool things like the Smithsonian and like the White House and that sort of stuff, but it's not exciting like Vegas could be.
No. And also, Jordan, did you see Spider-Man 2 has gone gold?
I have. I'm so excited for Spider-Man. I'm so excited.
Not long now.
Do you want to know what I did today? So I got a bit restless after Mortal Kombat and I was like, I'm going to start Miles. I opened Miles up. I played it for 5 minutes and was like, nah, I think I just want to play Spider-Man 2.
Well, you didn't want to sort of spoil yourself. Yeah.
No. Nah.
3 weeks and a few days and it'll be in your hands. You'll be playing. Yep. That won't be long.
Not long at all.
That'll fly by. And final story, Jordan, October. Run me through what is coming out in October.
Man, October's stacked. I don't know what to do with myself. We'll talk a little bit more about
give
my
plans. Give me the, maybe skip a few of the smaller ones, but like Gargoyles Remastered, but.
Yeah. So just ones that are like, obviously we're just touching on the PlayStation games. So there's Disgaea 7, We've got Assassin's Creed Mirage on October the 5th.
Which is next huge. Week.
Yeah. Yep. Roblox finally comes to PS5, which is a bit of a big deal if you're into that. That Honkai Star Rail game finally comes to PlayStation. That I think it's the Genshin, I think it's to do with Genshin Impact. Like, it's made by the same people. I could be wrong. Lords of the Fallen, another Souls-like, comes out October 13th.
Is that coming out? Lords of the Fallen? Yeah. I think they should delay that.
Comes out October 17th. We've got Marvel Spider-Man 2, October the 20th. Lord of the Rings Return to Moria. I don't know anything about this, but I need to find out about it.
It's not going to be good, obviously.
Oh, isn't it?
Nah.
Okay. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection comes out, Volume 1, which is the remastered versions of MGS 1, 2, and 3. Comes out October 24th as well. Ghost Runner 2, October 26th.
Jesus.
Alan Wake 2, October 27th. And one that's actually missed here is next week on the 4th, Hellboy Web of Word or Web of Weird comes out as well.
And UFC 5 comes out. And UFC 5
comes and out.
And also Forza Motorsports for Xbox and PC.
Yeah, you're an Xbox or PC dork.
And Super Mario Wonder. Fucking hell. Shit.
Yeah.
It's funny. And then you look at November and it's a lot smaller because you got Call of Duty. Maybe that, I don't know if that's the reason why they're not coming out in November, but November's not as
a game today that delayed from October. The who's the people who does Deck Nine? No, who's the people who did Life is Strange first or second? There's two Life is Strange studios, but I can't think of which one it is.
Don't Nod.
That's who it is. They do. They did Life is Strange, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they delayed their game out of October into February.
Oh, Banishers. Arguably,
yeah, Banishers, which is arguably just as busy.
Yeah, I don't. I'm kind of keen on Banishers, although I haven't been keeping up with it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know much about it, but yeah, that got delayed too.
Shit. Yeah, February's always big. January's a bit of a fucking nothing going on. And December, you got Avatar. So there you go. All right.
Yeah,
we've got some busy weeks ahead, Jordan. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Enjoy the next game you play.
Thank you. Don't know what that is yet, but I think I'll try and work that out tonight.
I'm going to be playing Phantom Liberty.
Oh,
until the Call of Duty beta next week.
Oh, yes. How exciting.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 3. That is happening next week.
Do you have to pre-order to get into that beta?
Sure do.
Right, I might do my pre-order now. And I'll do what I did last year. I pre-ordered on Amazon, got me code, and then like cancelled me pre-order.
Oh, you dirty, dirty man. Good on you. Good on ya. And with that being said, it's been a pleasure to serve you. Take care, guys. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.